Check one, check two. This is it. Welcome to the Cannabis Coffee Hour. I'm your host, Rob Cantrell. We are here at Matawana, the first legal dispensary owned by a minority female here in Brooklyn, New York. We are here with Leanne Mata, the owner, the queen goddess of Sensimilia and cannabis on the East Coast. I am so happy to be in your awesome dispensary. I picked up some product yesterday. This is right on Fifth Ave. It's clean, it's mean, it's got the best. And then she also has this dope tribute to her family here in New York. Welcome to the Cannabis Coffee Hour, Leanne.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have you, to have myself put on the forefront of your podcast is bigger than I could have asked for. And I'm thankful and humbled to have you in my dispensary.
I'm humbled to be here, Leanne. And the first moment I met you, it was just a glow of sunshine because I don't know, there's people in New York that are smokers that are just get by through life, and you can just tell good people are good people. And when I met you, I was like, oh, this is the right person at the right time. Tell us about your journey with cannabis. Have you always been into smoking? Or, you know, I guess you don't have to go too, you know, personal, but at the same time, just be real with it.
So my cannabis journey started several years ago when me and my brother was like 15, and he bought a quarter pound.
Oh, Lord.
From somebody. Good. And we put it in the closet like, yeah, we're going to figure this out. We go back 2 days later, and the mouse ate up all our cannabis. We spent our whole summer youth check on the cannabis, like, how are we going to tell mom we ain't buying no sneakers? Because we were supposed to use it.
A little bit of reefer.
We got reefer. We bagged it up with plastic in it. This was like 95, I want to say. And needless to say, that started my journey with cannabis.
Oh, that's hilarious. Tried to sell weed and the rats are eating, the mice are eating it in New York. That is no... New York has a wild affinity for cannabis and history with cannabis, with the arts, with, you know, just minorities being held down and the stop and frisk and just the economy of it all. I'm just glad that, you know, it's just in the power of a female and somebody that's, yeah, you told that story with such humor and grace. You know, you're not too over the top with it. You're right in the middle, which I like.
Some call us legacy hustlers. It's deeper than that for me because when the last 4 years, what took me deeper into it is my mother was addicted to opioid pills. Oh. And I was like, listen, how can I help her, you know, manage her pain and give her something medicinable? And that's when I started growing cannabis. Oh. I got my hemp license. I started infusing it in pain rub for her. I put it in pill form for her. And that literally helped her subside her pain use of the misuse of her pain medicine.
Yes.
So that's when I was like, cannabis is healing. Why are they keeping this from us? It's not about the misuse. It's about the miseducation of cannabis.
Yes. And it is a tool that she was put on this earth. It's a healing of the nations. And getting older, yeah, you know, I was born in 72. I'm doing a show called 1972. You know, I've dealt with both the passing of my parents. One went quickly out of nowhere, and then one went through old age, and I saw it go all through all the pain. And you're right. Like, there's no dodging your knees. Once you start hitting 80 and 85, you need something for that pain. And let me tell you, fentanyl ain't it. Fentanyl is just going to kill you and make it worse. I mean, there's a time to use hardcore pain medication, but for the day-to-day old people stuff, yeah, cannabis is right there and ready for us. And that's what's so great about New York cannabis, because all I do is walk in this town. My feet are always hurting. My knees are always hurting. And it's so great that I can go in and, you know, come into this place as clean. And also, it's just decorated. She has her, and she also is a small business. She has her great clothing line. Cool, dope, New York. There's a leather bomber jacket that looks sick. Tell me about your New York experience. Like, Did you grow? You grew up in Brooklyn. You grew up during hip hop in the 80s. You grew up through cannabis, people getting shooken down for cannabis, and you know, hard drugs too.
A part of the card license, we had to have a family member with a marijuana charge. I have 7 siblings, 5 brothers, and 3 of them have a marijuana charge for stop and frisk.
Oh.
For joints, not nothing, not pounds, not ounces, for joints, college students, stop and frisk, found a little weed on them. And that changed our trajectory on how we moved and how our education went, because he couldn't go to school no more. He couldn't receive financial aid no more.
Oh.
So that changed the dynamics of how we survived.
Yeah, it's you get shooken down for weed. I got, like I said, I got arrested in 2007, right out in the Lower East Side after a comedy show for smoking a joint. And the dude was like a professional violinist. It was like we were just smoking a joint, and I did 3 nights in Tombs. I couldn't imagine growing up in New York and, you know, you're just trying to get by and get through school and educate yourself. And there's alcohol, there's hard drugs. A little bit of cannabis will get you to sleep at night. It will make you a little bit more intuitive to work on your studies at times. You know, it kind of makes you calm. For me, it kind of calmed down my anxiety, and I can focus on what my true essence is. And I think arresting people, yeah, you do 3 nights in jail, that ruins your job. That ruins your manager. Your girl kicks you out of your apartment. You got to sleep at your boy's house. They don't want you there. You can't make it. It totally took the legs out from a whole generation in the 90s and 80s, I would say, for absolutely nothing compared to what they're doing at the corner bar.
Even with being legal in California and then you're still getting arrested in New York, we were like, we could go to California, go to a dispensary and get us some calming sativa or relaxing indica, but when we come here, we're criminalized.
Yeah.
So it was like, we couldn't understand that. And then being a teacher working for Board of Education, all the teachers smoked.
Yeah.
Every single one of them smoked that I knew personally. And it was like, we're going here, we're putting in this work, we're working for New York State, but we can't go home and indulge in the cannabis that ease our mind, help us relax. And most of the time we was up late doing less than playing. We smoke a doobie.
Yeah, as you should.
And that was a crime. So a lot of people were scared to share the fact that they even enjoyed cannabis. Even to this day, when it's legal, someone told me, I like to keep my cannabis private. And I'm like, why? It's legal. They said, I'm still traumatized for the legalization of it. And even on a federal level, why is it still illegal? This is medicine. We should start talking less about what the plant doesn't do, and let's talk about what the healing that the plant does do.
Yeah, 100%. It can heal economically. It can heal environmentally. We don't have to be using plastics. We don't need to be having used to paper. Hemp is a way of doing that. And also, yeah, the anxiety. And yeah, I was an English teacher. I was an English major. I taught in schools. I smoked cannabis during the whole time, but not at school. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing I think that's so great about this dialogue that we're having, Leanne, is that how honest you are. And you and I have been around enough to know that, you know, we got to start getting honest with these conversations. And I think that's happening out in the whole universe right now, is that, you know, and I'm also still, yeah. Sometimes my podcast doesn't get bigger sponsors, or I don't get looked at bigger networks because I embrace cannabis so much. But it just seems like an obvious solve to a problem, you know? Not all of the problems in the world, but definitely can ease the tension.
When I started the CBD business, because I'm licensed to sell CBD over 3 years, I had over 50 cancer patients. And some of them actually passed on, and they told me their family can't. They said, you made their last days livable. You made them comfortable before they passed. And that meant more to me. When I started this business, I wasn't looking for the monetary reward. I was looking for those rewards. I was looking at our customer base is from 50 to 80 years old. This is 90% of our customers on Fifth Avenue. And they're like, thank you, we finally have legal cannabis. I don't have to travel to Manhattan to get legal cannabis. I can go up the block. And that's why I started this dispensary, to give legal cannabis to people that need it and want it.
Leanne, you are an angel. You are an angel that got sent to Earth. You're 100% right. As a guy that, I've been smoking, that's what I do. I drink coffee and I smoke. I don't drink alcohol. Don't touch hard drugs. And the bodega scene, like the black market scene, the last few years during the pandemic got really bad. Like the cannabis that they're selling are sprayed. It's touched. There's so much money being grabbed at. I just saw the quality on the street level go down to the point where I wasn't even trusting street cannabis. I only trusted, Housing Works. The Housing Works was the first one I went to in Manhattan, but it was a pain in the ass to go an hour back. I'm so glad that you're in the neighborhood, and you're right. It's usually the older people and the people that aren't as aggressive with the society. They just want to live and, listen to a jazz record at night and hang out and have a decent meal that they can digest their food. With cannabis, I've learned growing older with digestion, it helps me. If I eat something weird or ate too much, I smoke a little bit of a joint and I take a walk and it just works through. Whereas I think people in the 70s and 80s would just go back to bed. They wouldn't do anything. It gets you, it just gets you alive and gets the blood pumping.
And the great thing is now, one of the things that my dispensary offer is a bud tending service where we break down the products for you. Yes, you don't know that Lobos have great ounces, but if you could sit down with us, you'll learn about the different strands. You'll learn about the hybrid sativas and indicas. You could get pain rub to help your back, your knee. You could get pre-rolls if you don't want to roll, but we also have categorized them. So when you get your case of pre-rolls, it could be separated with sativa, indica, and hybrid. So you have your morning, your night, and your day, midday. So we make sure we cater to our clients. We make sure we educate them on the products, and we make sure they're getting a bang for their buck. One of the misconceptions they have about our dispensary is that they can't come here and spend $10 and get something. Well, you're wrong. We have 0.7 grams for $10. It's actually $8 plus tax. So you're walking away with the same quality, quantity, but better quality if you come to us instead of going to the illegal shops.
Yeah, don't go to the illegal shops. She's 100% right. And this place isn't a money grab. And I could feel it. And I could feel it from yourself. And I've shopped everywhere. I started stand-up in San Francisco in 99. I used to get weed cookies from, the people that served AIDS patients. I used to go to the first legal dispensaries. I emceed the very first Cannabis Cup in San Francisco. And yeah, the bodega weed and the black market weed is not good for society. It's not good for New York. You gotta support Leanne. And yeah, you can roll in here with $10 and get a good joint, a quality joint, a joint that can last you 3 days of the best high. Lobo, can we talk about Lobo cannabis? They're strong. A lot of people are like, oh, the legal cannabis in New York isn't strong. Lobo ain't messing around.
We have some of them where they're coming at 27% THC.
Yeah.
And it's definitely taking you a day or two to just finish a joint. And if you are a real strong smoker, you might finish it in a day, but that high is going to last you a couple of hours. So you don't have to immediately go back and hit it. It's going to linger throughout the day, and you'll get your work done because they have a strong, great sativa where it's getting you thinking, it's getting you active, but it's giving you that also relaxed feeling that you're looking for.
Yeah, I love the brands that are coming out of New York State. I love sun-grown cannabis in upstate. It has some of the best wildlife. I'm a DC kid. I'm from Virginia. I'm from the South. We couldn't get any of this stuff. And now that I see it blowing up, Lobo is a great minority-owned cannabis company that has very, like, their flower is almost feels like old hash to me. It's so strong. But if you want to go kind of more, a little bit lighter, which I like around a 20 to 17 THC, Back Home Cannabis, I just picked this up here. This was $37. This was less than $40. Back in the day, this would have costed me $60. Even more, I mean, how good in the quality it is.
And also, you're getting 5 pre-rolls. So if you think about it, you do the math, you're getting a pre-roll less than $10.
Yes.
So my main thing about is making sure it's affordable for everybody. I don't want to have medicine that people can't afford.
Yeah.
I want to have medicine people can afford. And you could look at it like cannabis is a drug. Can we make it a healing drug? Can we make it a drug that I actually, even some seniors said, I don't have to take medicine to eat anymore because I have a nice sativa or hybrid.
Yep.
I had a senior tell me, oh, I don't have to take sleep aid no more because I take a nice indica. I had a senior tell me I don't have to take joint pain medicine because I'm using the rub. And with all those medicines that I took out of my daily use, I'm feeling more healthy. I'm not a doctor. I cannot put any value on the medicine of the plant. All I can tell you is what the testimonies are, and those are testimonies.
Those are testimonies, and you're right, and it's the truth. It's out there. You shouldn't abuse it, and you should get educated on what works with you. But I know dudes that don't eat blue pills anymore, that could go with just cannabis. And I think that's another angle. You know, there's some in the environmental angle. I mean, we could sit here and talk about it forever. But at the same time, Leanne, what is your favorite cannabis? What do you like now?
I actually came out with my own strain called Brownsville. I crossbred runts and cat piss, and it's like that brown, runty smell. Smells like Brownsville. It gives you like a 3-hour high. That's my personal strain. But if I had to go with anything, I say I'm old school Sour Diesel, my number one.
Same. I love Sour Diesel. Lobo has a great diesel stomper. Yeah, the cat piss, I don't know about that strain. That's some funky stuff. But I got you. Brownsville is funky.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so it hits hard.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's, I mean, I traveled with Tracy Morgan for a good 2 years opening for him, and he's from those same projects, right?
And like, I was born and raised in Tompkins as well.
Tompkins, where Jay-Z is actually from.
Marcy's Jay-Z,
but Mike Tyson's from Brownsville, right?
Yes.
And they're all, but everybody kind. What I learned, it is kind of a small community in terms of the elders. Like everybody kind of knows each other from the 80s and 90s, because that. I mean, it's hard to face, but it's a lot of trauma, affecting the black youth of the 80s and 90s, because there wasn't enough economic wealth, and people had to go to selling hard drugs. And guns got involved, money gets involved. Once money and guns get involved is when I start backing out.
Listen, everything is legal. So
yeah.
If you're legally licensed to carry, if you're legally licensed to sell, that's your personal and how
that's
you
deal with it. That's a healthy way to do it.
But the thing about righting the wrongs, this is part of righting the wrongs.
Yes.
Allowing minority people to own dispensaries that were harmed by the drug laws that affected us like they affected no other people.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I went away to college and I went upstate and we're driving, they smoking and all. I'm like, no. Yeah, I'm not getting stopped or pulled over. They're like, oh, we do this all the time. They don't bother us. We get pulled over. My roommate was Caucasian, it was both of them. And the cops stopped them. They was like, hey, I smell a little weed. They were like, oh, we're college students. They were like, all right, go ahead. I'm in culture shock. Like, we're not going to jail. And I didn't even smoke at the time. So I was like, I'm not indulging. And nothing happened to us. It was a smack on the wrist. And coming from Brooklyn, where every time I turned around, just for you walking down the block, you would stop and frisk. I remember them lining my friends up and was like, if you come with us to the precinct, we'll give you $20. We need you to do a lineup. Young kids, we like 14. And some of these kids actually went with them because they were hungry. They needed the money.
Yeah.
And their life was ruined.
Oh.
So I'm coming from East New York, Brooklyn, where your neighbor could be here today, going tomorrow for something they didn't do.
Yeah. And it's about creating generational wealth within the minority community in America, which got taken out through the 80s, a lot of the cocaine and a lot of the economic dispense. And like you said, it's two different worlds of somebody getting busted by a cop, me being able to talk and charm my way out of it. But in Manhattan, I wasn't able to do that. They caught me. Those dudes were Long Island assholes. They just wanted to, they just threw me in the hole. But usually I can charm my way and talk my way out of a lot. And I know that about society. And I know that's in play as well as everybody else. So it's just, yeah, I just want you to succeed, Leanne. I know you have an event tonight that you're bringing actual vendor. Or do you have some of the, is this mostly Fifth Avenue businesses coming tonight, or you got marijuana, like New York cannabis businesses coming?
It's an array of businesses. What I am about is education. So what I am doing is inviting the local businesses on Fifth Avenue to come mingle with some of the processors in New York State so they understand why we're here, how we can work together as small businesses, as well as them getting an understanding of the products we sell and who we're representing, New York State. All our products are from New York State-owned companies, are grown in New York State, so it's just partnering with New York State and letting people in New York State know about the processors, the growers, and how we get the product in the store.
I love it. New York State, like I said, like I lived in California. D.C. opened up in a weird way, California, Oregon. But everybody complained about New York, but I'm saying New York is having some of the best cannabis and the best run dispensaries and setting it up slowly but in the right way. And I'm really excited about the New York market and the cannabis in the New York market, and as well as the coffee. But so, Leanne, what would you say? I mean, we already talked about your favorite cannabis, but you're... What's fascinating about you is that you're not doing this for the money. You're literally doing this because it's the right thing to do. And you actually grew your own weed for a while?
Yes. My book is called Money and Marijuana. It teaches people how to grow their own cannabis, how to get into the field, how to infuse the products, how to crossbreed the products, the difference between soil and hydroponics, the difference between seed and clone. Like I said, it's about the education for me. And in New York State, we're allowed as medicinal people to grow six plants. So if I could help you, three seedlings, three adults. So if I could help you growing, that's how you know I'm not doing it for the money. Why would I give away the secret?
Yeah, that's what made me fascinating, that you really are doing it for the culture. You really are doing it for the community. Because, you know, just being a regular cat, I will say going into California dispensaries, I would always be like, man, this is like going into a strip club. Like, you end up spending like $500. Mm-hmm. You don't even want to. But here, like, the prices are great. And you're right. Like, if you are, like, let's say you're 65, you're retired, you're not willing to put down $100 every 3 weeks. Like, you could grow your own, you know, cannabis because you're not making much. You might as well just be sustainable. Have humans have a sustainable, and you don't have to be super 1% billionaire in order to survive. You know, you could just have a little bit of money and three good cannabis plants and that you're smoking and maybe selling to a couple friends, and you're getting by.
Also, not just that. Like I said, since you're using it for medicinal values, maybe you're not spending so much on pain medicine because you're using the cannabis. And within using the cannabis and growing it, you're giving yourself the medicine and you're saving yourself money.
Yeah.
That's a win.
That's a win. That's a win. And that's the green lifestyle. And that's, I really think humanity, we're going back to nature is what we'll eventually have to learn, is that nature's here. We got to work with it. And cannabis is a way of working with nature. And it's a way of making it, you know, make better things in your life, as well as, you know, cutting the pain down. And, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting time. And you got an exciting shop. Now, tell me about the hiring processes. How many employees do you have now? Like, you just opened like a couple weeks. This is the very first Brooklyn dispensary owned by a female minority. Legal, everything's thumbs up. Tell me about your staff.
My staff is dope. We have veterans. We hired about 50% women, 50% male. We have minorities of all races working here.
She does.
We wanted to build equity within our company, so we're paying them great salaries. We also make sure that they get free product every Friday, a bag full. So not only are they getting paid great, they're also getting quality product that they could go home and enjoy and not have to spend their money on. So my goal is just to help them also branch off in the field if that's what they want. It's just building quality workers and building equity within the company.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, because I've worked restaurants, and that's the worst, is when they make you pay for the meal, and then, or they go, oh, you could have it for half price. And you're like, dude, I've been working here all week. I've been smelling this all day. You got to let me have the whole hamburger at least. Let me get the pickle. So, you got way to hook them up, way to pay. Because I did come in. I've been in here twice since you guys have opened, and I've picked up both times. And I'm a snob. I'm telling you, I'm a weed snob. I'm a vibe snob. If I don't like the vibe, I'm out. If I think the weed is, you're trying to get a one over on me, I'm out. This place, everybody's kind, cool, patient. You're not going to have any, I'm telling you, this is the shop. Fifth Avenue's blowing up. It got voted like the best city block in New York by Time Out. And then South Slope here, there's cool bars. There's great, there's a new comedy, like improv venue across the street that I perform at. So you're going to be a part of this like resurgence of this like really cool vibe in Brooklyn.
And the great thing about the cool vibe is that we're working together. Collaboration over competition.
Yes.
So we're looking at each other like, how can I help you move forward? And you're looking at me as like, how would I help forward? And that's what family is about. So Fifth Avenue is a family.
Yeah. And New York's a family. And in cannabis, you know, it's just like, it does, the one thing I'll say about cannabis, it brings people together from all different walks of life. It really does. I've been in a smoking circle where it's like an Indian dude, black dude, couple chicks. Everybody's at the end of the night and you're blazing up. And you just don't find that in other, in drinking worlds or any other worlds. Like, I do love seeing, the cool thing about New York is when cultures come together and we learn from each other. And we learn from the best parts of each other and work with each other. And as much as people rag on New York on how tough it is, this is where everything gets figured out because there's so many different types of people.
It's funny you say that. My makeup artist, Crystal, said to me today, she said, if you're going to be a single mom in New York. They will give you the services you need, whether it's childcare, making sure you have a place to lay your head, all types of services to make sure you strive. I'm a single mother of three, twin 5-year-olds and an 18-year-old. And I don't think I would be this successful anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, New York has your back. Yeah, I was raised by a single mom. It's hard. There's no way around it. It's no way around it. And I'm a parent now. And it's just, but it's great. It's meant, as much as people rag on the government, I will say New York state government has been there as a parent for me. I love the schools. I think the schools are great. I think the teachers are amazing. And I had free pre-K, which saved me, you know, at a time when I was, getting acting gigs, trying to go on the road. I wasn't sure I could live in New York. And all of a sudden this thing came in. And I don't want to talk too much politics, but I will say, at the end of the day, I got to call what people, if you've done right by me, I'll tell you you've done right by me. And New York State did right by me.
New York State did right by me. As Mayor Adams was here for the grand opening. Kathy Hochul, I met with the day before the grand opening. The police department comes now and just to make sure my store okay. So the world have reversed as far as how we're working together as a partnership, and I'm not being criminalized, but I'm looked at as an established small business owner.
I love it. You should be, and you should be applauded, and you should be celebrated, and you should be supported. And I know the vibes. Everybody I'm talking to, I've already told, like, go down Fifth Ave. That's where it's at. It's easy. It's clean. And they got great product, and it's all safe. And, New York, times are changing right now with podcasting, with marijuana laws and how money's moving, you know, everybody's kind of scared, but also it's just an exciting time to, if you're creative and into cannabis, it's an exciting time. Like, you just published a book. What was that like? Like, that's crazy. Like, you went all in on publishing a book, starting a company.
Five books.
Five books? Oh, my God. All on cannabis or other things?
All on cannabis. I actually did it in English and Spanish. So the first issue, it's all of them are English, Spanish. If you want to get it, they're on the rack over there. If you could grab them for me.
Yeah.
Right around. So the issue is I had to make sure I include my Spanish people in it. Yes. I am Venezuelan and Trinidadian and American. It's a melting pot.
It is.
So I didn't want to leave them out of the books. So what I did was make sure all of them are translated into English and Spanish. They will be dropping tonight. So we have...
Oh, my God. Now, can you speak Spanish?
Poquito.
Oh, wow. That's... Man, Leanne, I'm not even worthy to be here. Leanne Mata. Oh, wow. This is all written in Spanish. This is...
And it's the English version. Hydroponics versus soil seed versus clone, cannabis and pills. The reason why I include cannabis and pills because of my experience with my mom and opioid addiction. So we just wanted to highlight some of the great qualities that the cannabis has as far as managing pain, eating, sleeping, and all the medicinal values that go with cannabis.
Oh my gosh, I know you're so busy. You got books, you got a party tonight, you're running a business, you got kids, you got family, but you're also super creative. Where does this creativity come from? Was your parents creative? What's going down?
I would say I married what my parents couldn't marry, and that was education and hustling. My father was the hustler.
Right, right.
My mother was the educational nurse. Mm-hmm. That served all over. So she gave me that service part. My father gave me the dynamics to hustle. And my mother said, anything you want to learn is in the book. So I said, anything you want to learn, I'll write a book. Makes sense.
Oh, my God. You are amazing. That's the thing about New York had, 8 million stories. Is an old Curtis Blow song that I love. But it's true. There's 8 million stories. Leanne Mata, this is just... amazing that you've written these books. I've been through a lot of cannabis stuff, but you are very special and very cool. And just to accept me, a funky, weird white dude coming in here, just doing my thing and asking you to do a podcast. And you were like, yep, I got the setup. She goes, come here at 9:30. This girl is all business, speaks the truth. And I love having you on the podcast. Is there anything else? I mean, we're at 33 minutes. I don't want to take too much of your time.
We got to open.
Yeah, you got to open up. You want to give out, you said you got, should we give a shout out to the store guys? We did that.
I'd like to give a shout out to OCM. I know the rollout has been hard for people, but they need to look at the fact that people that felt entitled to the license sued OCM, which held all of us up from opening up.
Yes.
And it really wasn't their fault. However, people are hungry. People have spent their last and invested into opening up. So I get both sides of the coin. But I would like to shout them out, because if it wasn't for them and this inequity program, I wouldn't be here right now.
Okay. Yeah. OCM, shout out. Yeah. Things that I know people were, it was hard to open up. And you kind of just like persevered.
I'm in therapy now because of it.
Yeah, you are the ark. I was going to say you're like the biblical ark that brought all the different joints and buds and everything. You made it through a sea of bureaucracy and a lot of pain and a lot of confusion. And just it takes a New Yorker. The one thing, New York has tested me so much doing stand-up comedy and hustling side gigs and raising a family. But it does... It teaches you to keep your head high when the chips are down and to keep going.
It's humble beginnings.
It's humble beginnings, but things win, and you're winning right now. And I want to put this, I want to put the wind behind your sails and just say thank you. I'm going to blow a couple joints outside after this interview of your awesome cannabis, and I'm going to come by tonight. You got you'll have some seltzer water. You'll have some fruit drinks, and
some food. We're gonna have DJ. We're gonna have Process come display some of their non-infused products. So like they'll bring gummies that have the same flavor profile, but it won't be infused because we can't have consumption in the store.
Smart.
But you'll be able to get a sample of the product, and if you want the high now, you can buy now.
Yeah, you can buy now.
Buy now, buy now.
Yeah. And I like this new world that even though I'm like a hardcore stoner, I don't have to smoke like all the like I can choose. Like it's gotten so legal now, like I can walk down. It used to be you had to hide and go behind a building or go. It was just brutal. And now it's just it makes a little bit more sense to the lifestyle. Now I'm gonna close up, but I want to talk a couple just personal things that are like pop culture, just because stoners know the best things. What was the last song you listened to? What are the songs you're listening to in your car? Do you have Spotify? Do you do Spotify?
No. Beanie Siegel, I Could Feel It in the Air, and that's what gets me through my day. I Could Feel It in the Air. It's energy. It's whether it's the smoke. Any and everything is in the air, and it's Beanie Siegel feeling in the air.
That's energy. You're right. It's all about energy, and it is in the air, and all these material things, and everything is cool and all, but everything's going to dust. The only thing that's not going to dust is the energy.
Good energy.
The good energy is the one that passes through to the next dimension and the next dimension, but Beanie Siegel's badass. That's some Jay-Z. So that's the last. What about a movie? What's the last stoner? Is your favorite movie you put on?
I love How High. That's like one of my favorite movies. I would go with Friday as well.
Friday.
Especially when he was like, how you get fired on your day off? So
moving boxes. Moving boxes. Stealing boxes was the funniest line ever. And How High, I love Method Man and Red Man. Red Man has never said a whack bar in his life. And they're funny, good actors.
Yep, I need his strand here, tactical, holla at me. I need Method Man strand in my store.
Method Man, hook it up to Cal. Yeah, I've tried it. It's good.
It's good.
It's good. And Leanne, you should be selling that. But Leanne, thank you. I'll let you start your day. You couldn't be kinder. You're just kind, kind, warm soul, and I appreciate it. But I know not to mess with you.
Listen, it's all business till it don't have to be.
Yeah.
No, but thank you so much for having me on my podcast. He's a dope guy. Watch his podcast. Follow him on Instagram. He know great quality product, and he's a dad. So all of the great qualities to make him a great smoking partner.
We'll smoke a joint here soon, tonight, at your big party. Leanne, thank you.
Thank you.
Bless, one love, everybody. Thank you, and that's it. Woo. Yeah.